We're starting a new series for the spring. It's Route 66. Route 66. And if I say Route 66, if I go back to that, you know it's Route 66, okay? We grew up learning how the English speaks English, so I interchange. And you know why I do that. So we're going to talk about Route 66. And I want to give you how this came about. Last year when I came out here to preach at this church, when we started from Indiana and came into Illinois, then we started to see Route 66. That was not the first time I've seen it before. But that inspired me. And when I got here, the Lord laid in my heart to preach on Route 66. Because there are 66 books in the Bible. Did you know that? Yeah, you know. 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. You add that together and it is 66. For me, this Route 66 is the road to destiny. This is the road that will take you to your final destination. And I want to talk about Route 66 in this spring series. So let's pray and commit this series to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your life. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your help. And right now, we welcome the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in our midst, that you will become as real as the breath that we take. Anoint me, Lord. Touch me. Use me. For your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to preach on the whole book of the Bible in the spring series, from Genesis through Revelation. Okay? And today we're going to preach the first five books. The first five books are known as the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, right. So we're going to finish the five books today. I want you to take your watch and put it in your pocket. You're not going home today. I couldn't wait to come to church to preach on this word. And as I was preparing the sermon, I was feeling, I'm here. I wish I was already here on Sunday to preach the word. I was so excited to preach the word of God today. And I want to share what the Lord has laid in my heart. And I want to talk about Jesus Christ in all the five books. That the Bible is everything about Jesus. From the beginning till the end, it's everything about Jesus. And in the five books, I want to talk about Christ in the first five books. Christ in Genesis, Christ in Exodus, Christ in Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Did you know that Christ was there in Genesis? Christ was not just there from Matthew, from the Gospel. Christ was already there in Genesis. Did you know that Christ was there in Numbers, in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, and even in the book of Leviticus? One of the things that I desire for our church, and this is my prayer, and I'm going to share it with you, is that Santa Clara First Baptist Church will be one of the most informed churchgoers. Informed in the Word of God, right? The second thing is that you will be one of the most inspired followers of Jesus Christ. And so, if you're informed, if you're inspired, that you will impart what has been inspired to you and impact in the lives of people. Right? Inform, inspire, impact, impart and impact other people. Four eyes. And I want people to ask, where do you go to church? Where do you get all this knowledge? And you'll say, oh, we go to Santa Clara First Baptist Church. I want Santa Clara First Baptist Church to be one of the most informed in biblical teaching. And you're going to hear the Word of God. So today, you're not going to get one of those tacky, cheesy, or motivational one-line sentence or phrase and go back home. I'm actually going to teach the word of God. And I want you to stay with me. Can you do that?
Yes.
I'm going to actually teach the word of God. And this is very exciting for me. So if you had a rough night last night, I guess it's better to sleep in the church than at home. Yes. So the beginning. Route 66, the beginning. And this is my introduction here. God created human being to work with him. Okay? The second one is God created human being to walk with him. And God created human being to worship him. So four W's that you can remember. To work with him, to walk with him, and to worship him. So what's the intention of his creation? And we want to look at the intention. The intention of God's creation is revealed to us in the 66 books, Genesis to Revelation, through the life of Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's talk about Christ in the beginning. Christ in the beginning in Genesis. How many of you knew that Christ was already in Genesis? You know, from John 1, in the beginning was the Word, not that one, but actually from Genesis itself, that the Word of God was speaking to you. Now, when you read Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, in chapter 1 is the creation account, you know that. But you also find that in Genesis 2, there is another creation account. And those two creation accounts does not match. Did you know that? So some people are saying, why do we have two creation accounts? How many of you knew that there were two creation accounts? Right? But today some of you knew, some of you don't know. And I want to share this. So, for example, my wife and I, our family, we go on a vacation. And when I come back from the vacation, they'll say, hey, how was your vacation? And I'll say, good. Right? So, good? Yeah, it was good. That's it, right? It was good. It was a good vacation. Just good? No. Yeah, it was a great vacation. And you go to my wife and say, hey, Miss Margaret, how was the vacation? Oh, it was wonderful. On Sunday, we went up to the mountains, right? On Monday, we were in the water. See, on Tuesday, we look at the plants and the trees. We were going through the hiking everywhere on Thursday. We look at the birds in the air. On Friday, we ate some fish. On Saturday, we rested. You know, full account. Mine was, how was the vacation? Good. Yeah? In Genesis chapter 1, God did not give the detail of the account of how it was created. God created man and woman in his own image. You read that. But in Genesis chapter 2, it's actually written how God created it. He came down, he took the dust, he mixed it. You know, he did something, he dirtied himself. And then he breathed in life, and he was created. It's not a contradiction. He was like, yeah, good vacation. Monday to Saturday. Also, this one I give you for free. It's not part of the salary, okay? The Genesis accounts are written by two, there are two accounts, two views. It's known as the Elohist and the Yahwist. Okay? Can you say Elohist? So Elohim, the word Elohim, right? And Yahweh, which is also the name of God. Lord, and then big Lord. So when you read the Bible, do you see that capital L-O-R-D? Right? Have you seen that? Those are the Yahweh's account. Yahweh. So, Genesis is also written by the Elohist and the Yahweh's account. Now, God is an almighty God. He's transcendent. He's above everything else. And then you will see God being immanent. That he is here with us. You will see that in both accounts. The one who spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't do anything. He just spoke and there was like, Almighty God, transcendent God. But then you see the one who came down on earth, took the dirt and formed people. That's the eminence. You see in the two creation story, the transcendent God, the eminent God. God who walks with us. You get the character of God in those two creation. That God is with us, but God is also almighty and powerful. It's not a contradiction. It's about telling who God is, how he did it and who he is, so he can reveal it to us. But when you go, this is exciting. This is the exciting thing that I want to share with you. When you go to Genesis, right? Genesis 3:15. This is after the fall. The serpent came and tempted even Adam. Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit and they were kicked out from the garden. That's the story. Now, before they go out, this is what God said to the serpent and also to Adam and Eve. And it says here that I will put enmity between your children, between you and her, between her seed and your seed. Look carefully in the Word of God, right? It says between your seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed. Do you see that? It didn't say his seed. It's very specific, her. You know that it's a very, in Jewish culture, it would be a patriarchal culture. It's very surprising that there is now a pronoun here, his. In fact, it's here, her. Why not Adam's seed? Why it has to be her seed? In all the other readings, you'll find a male seed. Right? You go back to Luke chapter 1. And when the angel of the Lord come, and this is the word of God in Luke, it says, behold, the virgin shall bear a son. It didn't say Joseph. From Genesis 3:15, Jesus was already present. It was her seed. That the child will be born through a woman. And he shall be the Messiah. And this Messiah is going to crush the head of Satan. Jesus was already present in the beginning. Did you see that? Do you know that Jesus was already there? That her seed is going to crush the head of Satan. And then when you read the whole scripture and New Testament, a time will come, time is coming soon, when Jesus is going to crush the head of Satan and put him under his feet. He was already there in the beginning. Jesus was already there in the beginning. He was looking out for you from the beginning already. You didn't just encounter him in the New Testament. He was already there. And Jesus is from the line of Abraham. So when you read Genesis, you can take notes here. You can go to the YouVersion. All the outlines are there in the YouVersion of what we teach here today. Okay? And I want you to go and read at home again. Detail. Now, it says in Genesis, the promises are given from 12, 17, 28, that a son will be given, a promised child will be given, the descendants of God's children. And then you come to the New Testament, and when you do the genealogy in Luke, where Jesus came from, it ended with what? He is the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, and the son of Abraham. That was already there in the beginning. This was the promised seed, the promised child that was talked about. We didn't just meet him in the gospel. He was already there. It's very interesting when you read the Bible that Jesus is the coming king from the line of Judah. When you read in Genesis 49, in verse 10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from the house of Judah. It was already there. And then you come to New Testament, and John wrote about this and say, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. You see the connection, how Christ was already there from the beginning. Where are we going this morning? I'm going to take you that Jesus is the way, that he is the Route 66. Because Jesus would talk about in John 14, I am the way. We're talking about the way. And I want to point you that the way was already there from the beginning. The intention of God creating us was that he wants to walk with us. And you saw that. You saw that, that the eminence of God, the one who wants to have fellowship with us, will come in the cool of the day in the garden. And what would he do? He would walk with Adam. His intention was very clear. God has always wanted to walk with us from the beginning. And when you come, even in the end, it will end with us becoming one with him. Jesus is in the order. He is the high priest. Many of you have heard Melchizedek. Maybe you have not heard of Melchizedek. But it's very interesting when you read about Melchizedek. This is the story. Melchizedek came into the scene, the king of Salem, because Abraham, God has called out Abraham, and Abraham went to war, right? And he lost the war. So what did he do? He went to the king of Salem and Melchizedek, and when Abraham was defeated in the war, what did the priest do? The high priest do? He brought out the bread and the wine. What did he bring out? Bread and wine. Something clicked in my head immediately, and it took me to the Lord Jesus Christ, who fed the disciples with the bread and wine, the body and the blood. Okay? And what happened here is that Abraham gave a tithe to this high priest. 1/10 of his tithes to this high priest. This is the first time you saw the tithing there too. When you give a tithe to someone, it also denotes that that one is higher than you. Abraham came under the high priest Melchizedek and gave tithes to him. Come back to Hebrews writer. And he says in Hebrew, Melchizedek was without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made the line of the Son of God, remains a priest continually. It didn't end there. His priesthood continues continually. He had no father or mother. He had no family, no genealogy. Who does he sound like? Jesus. Yes. It was already possible that Abraham gave his tithe to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was defeated in the war. And it was him who gave the bread and wine to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus was already there, present with us from the beginning. And these are the word of God. These are the word of God. What is more even beautiful is that Jesus is in the sacrificial story of Isaac. Isaac reminds me of Jesus. His father took him out on the way towards Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. Exactly what God did to take the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross on Golgotha, on Calvary, and sacrifice. This is the story that Jesus was already there in the story of Isaac. An innocent man, an innocent young boy, was going to be sacrificed for the atonement of sin. Although we know that God did not allow Abraham to kill Isaac because he provided a ram, a lamb for the sacrifice. The story of Jesus was already there in Isaac. There's one more story in Genesis. And Genesis ends with this story, the story of the forgiving story of Joseph. You start reading from Genesis 37 and read from there and to the end. You know, when I was going to prepare for this sermon, the series, and I talked to my staff and I was praying, Lord, I want to do this Route 66. You have put it in my heart. And that night when I went to sleep, this is how God speaks to me. I know it's different for everyone, but for me, he speaks to me through dreams. And he took me to Genesis 32 and Genesis 42 in my dream, and I was reading. It's the story of Joseph and Jacob. I said, yes, I'm going with it, Lord. This morning, early morning, before I came to church, one of our members texted me, Pastor, where is the verse that it says that you meant it for evil, but it turned it for good? That's the story of Joseph. And I said, yes, we are going somewhere here. See, how do you find Jesus in the story of Joseph? He was sold, slave, put in prison, falsely accused. But when the brothers came, what did Jesus do? He forgave them. Oh, no, what did Joseph do? He forgave them. Jesus, innocent, tortured for us, falsely accused, hang on the cross for no fault of his. But what did he do? He forgave them. There is a reason why Genesis is there to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you hear people say, we don't need Old Testament anymore. No, you do. You do. Otherwise, you will not encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was already at work. He was already at work. The beginning of life, that Christ was present. And Christ in the journey. Christ in the journey in Exodus. That Jesus is the Passover lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there are very interesting things here. Not one of his bones will be broken. Do you know that when Moses came to his people and said, when God came to Moses and tell them, you know, to take a lamb that is unblemished, take the blood and put it on the door and it will pass you over. The angel of death will pass you over. But one thing he said, do not break the bones of the lamb. Right? You fast forward in New Testament and what was said about the Lord Jesus, none of his bones will be broken. He was the Passover lamb. He was already there in the journey, in Exodus. Even more interesting, that Jesus is the manna from heaven. The fathers and the mothers, the children ate manna in the desert. And then you come to John 6 and you say, for the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and give life to the world. Your father ate manna in the desert. That's how Jesus started. But I came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Just imagine that they were eating the body of Christ already in the desert. That he was the manna. That he was the manna himself that came down in the desert. But in the New Testament, he came down physically and be with the people and fed them, fed the multitudes, fed the disciples. He broke the bread and said, this is my body. The manna from heaven that was there in the beginning, in the Old Testament, was there in the New Testament, present physically, having fellowship with them. The manna is Christ. How did he know? Because he was there. And he talked about it. It's more even interesting that Jesus is the rock struck at Horeb. When the Israelites were thirsty and no water and complaining to Joseph, God says, strike the rock. And you go back to 1 Corinthians and to Paul. It's just amazing. And he wrote, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was already there. They drank from the rock. Christ was already at the well. At the end of the service, if you need prayer, come to the well. This is no place, no judgment, no shame, no guilt. Anyone who needs prayer, just like the Samaritan woman that comes to the well, Christ was at the well. Christ was there at the rock giving water to the people. And here in New Testament, he is giving water to those who need, that they may not thirst again. They may not thirst again. and Christ in the calling of the Leviticus. The priestly order, the things that the priest should do. And the Hebrew writers, the New Testament, go back to Leviticus 16, that Jesus is the high priest. That Jesus is the sacrifice of salvation. That Jesus is the scapegoat. And I want to talk about the scapegoat. So they cast a lot, and the lot will fall on one of the goat. And this goat is for the atonement of sin. That's why the word scapegoat comes from, right? You say, oh, who is the scapegoat? So the scapegoat is chosen for the atonement of sin. And what do? They send the scapegoat out in the wilderness. Maybe the lions and the tigers and the bears may come and eat. We don't know what happened to the scapegoat. But it's the scapegoat that took away the sin of the people. Jesus is our scapegoat. That scapegoat is Jesus. He took all our sins on the cross. And he was hung on the cross. He was crucified. He was buried. He was our scapegoat. I do not want you to make excuse for God anymore. Okay? Don't make excuse for God. Don't make excuses for God. Don't be the scapegoat. Because you are not the scapegoat. Your mistakes have been taken over by somebody. Your failures have been taken away by somebody. So you stop making excuses for God. How miserable you are. What a failure. What a disappointment you are. You stop making those excuses. Because from the beginning, long time ago, there has been a scapegoat who has taken that. Give your mistake, give your frustration, give your disappointment to this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your scapegoat. He is your scapegoat. And Christ in the wilderness. And we see that in Numbers, that Jesus is the messianic king. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel. It was in Numbers 24:17. I was very surprised to read this. That in the book of Numbers, Christ was already prophesied. And Jesus is typified in the bronze serpent in Numbers. You remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness and snake will come and bite and they will die? And they didn't know what to do. And God came to Moses and said, make a bronze serpent and lift it up. Whoever look up to that bronze serpent shall live. Bronze serpent shall live. You know that, right? And you go back in the New Testament and say, this Jesus will be lifted up just as the bronze serpent was lifted up in the time of Moses. He was already there. People were healed because they looked up to the bronze serpent, typified as Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the water from the rock that we talked about. And let me end with the Deuteronomy, the last five books. That Jesus is the prophet greater than Moses. And Moses talked about this, that a prophet will come. He will come. And in Acts and in John 6, it's amazing that they quoted what Moses said. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. This is the prophet. That's what the disciples were preaching after the Pentecost. When Jesus did miracle, the people said, this must be the prophet that is to come. They knew the prophet that was going to come. And very interesting thing. When Moses, they were going into the promised land, one of the things that he did was to build the refuge cities, city of refuge. Okay? And Moses set apart three cities near Jordan that the manslayer, whoever killed somebody accidentally, they would flee to this safe place and they will not be harmed. So if you commit mistakes, not by intention, you murder somebody, what do? They run to the refuge. And they take refuge in that. There are three places where they can go so they can be protected. That's Jesus. Jesus was like that for us. We all make mistakes in our lives. We fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But what happens when we run to Christ? He's our refuge. He saves us. He saves us. He forgives us. His blood washes and cleanses us. He is our refuge. Christ was there already, typified in the city of refuge, saving people. And Moses, the life of Moses, that we see Christ in the life of Moses. So Moses lived in the palace for how many years? 40 years, right? And then he was a shepherd for 40 years. And he was in the wilderness for 40 years, right? 40 in the palace, 40 as a shepherd, 40 as a in the wilderness. It reminds me of the number too, that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he starts his ministry. He was humble and meek. Moses was known as the most humble person on the earth. Jesus is known as meek, humble. You know what happened when Moses was going to die? It says, the word of God says in Deuteronomy 34, it says, he went up to Mount Sinai. Just as Jesus went up to the cross. And when Moses died, the word of God, his eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. He died with full health. Just as Christ was. None of his bones were broken. Not frail. You see the typified Jesus in the Old Testament now. See? So why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's because there are many crossroads in our lives. You're thinking, which path to take? Every day there is choices. And by your own strength, you have been taking all kinds of paths. And let me try this. Oh no, it doesn't work. Oh, maybe this is the one. And you're just tired of taking all the roads because it is not leading you to the place that you want to go. And I want to tell you this morning, I would like you to try the way the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there from the beginning. From the beginning. The route 66. That is less taken, less traveled. But people who have traveled on that road have found fulfillment, have found peace, have found contentment. Isn't that what you are looking for? That you are looking for peace, contentment, healing in your relationship, healing in your marriage, healing in your personal life. And you've been trying all kinds of route in your life. I know this road is narrow. Maybe it's a two-way. I don't know. But there is also a broad way, three ways. It's easier to notice and to take. And that route is route 666. You are either on route 66 or on route 666. And from the beginning, Jesus has laid down this route 66 that will lead you to life. Because that's the way you should take. So if you're not sure today why your life is not coming together, why things are not working out, I want you to stop trying in your own strength and find Jesus and follow him, because you want to get home. Every step you take with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every step of faith that you take, every step that you take with the direction of the Word of God will lead you closer to home. Come home. Let's get on Route 66 and get home. I knew about Route 66 because I took my sons and their adopted grandparent, grandfather, Uncle Tom, to watch the cars. And the cars is on Route 66. That was the first time I heard about it. And that Uncle Tom, today is in heaven, he passed away. Near the Christmas time, Journey to the Cross, Good Friday, Joel and I were out there, and he talked about his grandfather who was not doing well, and he passed away the following day. And he wrote to me and said, yes, it's sad that my grandfather has passed away, but I have hope, and I know where he is going because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paraphrasing, of course. These two men that we know, the Route 66 that we watched a movie together, the grandfather, many of you, they have found their way home because they lived according to the Word of God here on earth. Are you living and walking with Christ today? Jesus is the revealed Word of God. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus is the way to heaven. I don't know about you, but my goal, my ultimate goal in life is to get to heaven. And I do not want to get off Route 66 because I may find myself on Route 666. Let's welcome the worship team so we can reflect on the Word of God. Can we stand together? Dear Father, we thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to glorify him this morning. We want to worship him this morning. Lord, sometimes we want to be popular and say nice things, motivated, get one line, motivational line, and go home. But today, Lord, let the Word of God take root in our life. Let the Word of God bear fruit that we can be informed, inspired, imparted, and impact other people. That people will know that God is supreme and reign over Santa Clara First Baptist Church. We pray this in Jesus' name.